So, week three, our series, How to Ruin Your Life. What did we talk about week one? Wisdom. All right. Okay, what about week two? Social media? Somewhat. Yeah, how to start a fire with your phone. Okay, how to create issues with your phone. So, this week, I've got five signs that you have found your perfect cellmate. All right? So, yes, perfect cellmate. I understand it sounds like weird advice, but at some point, we've all heard this advice on the internet or from a friend or something, right? A good friend will what? Nobody has any idea. A good friend will bail you out of jail. A real friend will what? Go to jail with you. Okay, be sitting there right next to you. So, the realistic part of this is if you look at it and your friends are leading you to a path of prison, it's probably not the wisest thing in the world. Okay? Nobody, like, wakes up at 13 years old and goes, I know what I want to do with the rest of my life. I want to go to jail. And then heads down that path. It's just one of those things that happens. Our friends today impact our future. All right? Go to Proverbs 13. Okay? Last couple weeks, we've told y'all, series of Bible drills, so get ready. Oh, Tristan been practicing. 13. Oh, you want candy? Okay. I said I may have to because nobody's paying attention. I didn't know you were going to actually go home and practice. I'm proud of you. Okay, Proverbs 13, verse 20. Tristan, you were the first. Derek's got your candy, so read it. 20. Wait a minute, what? Walk with the wise and be wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. So everything that I've just said, it's like I didn't make it up. Somebody said it before me. So the people involved in your life determine where you're going. Okay? Walk with the wise and be wise. Walk with fools and get in trouble. Okay? I've heard it said like this. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Okay? So if I could take the group of, you know, 8, 10, 12 people that you hang around most at school or at work or outside of that, and look at them, I could tell you what your future is going to look like if nothing changes. Okay? So here's five ways to know that you found the perfect cellmate. If you don't want to be in a cell with them, then here's some practical ways to avoid that. Okay? The first one, you found the perfect cellmate if they think that they're wiser than adults. Okay? Now, every teenager on some level thinks they're smarter than adults, right? Everybody shake your head. Yes, you've all thought that at one point or another. Okay, I'm talking about the ones that think they are like legitimately the ultimate source of wisdom, that they cannot be proven wrong. Okay, that anytime somebody gives them advice, like they're just going to argue it for the sake of arguing it because they know they're right and they're smarter than you. Okay, the one when you say, like, hey, walk into the street, you'll get hit by a car, and they're like, actually, you may not get hit by a car. There's a 19.7.296% chance that the car will actually swerve around you, and you won't, and you're going, seriously? Okay? So, usually this friend is more, they worry more about looking good and what sounds awesome than actually doing the right thing. And what that usually winds up with is looking real cool in the back of a cop car. All right? Go to 1 Kings 12. Ivy's cheating off Emily, waiting for her to get the page number. It's in the first third of the book. Ivy did bring her Bible tonight. I'm proud of her. All those of you that brought your own Bible, that's very nice. It's easier to like take notes and highlight things that are important in your own Bible instead of the one you leave here that you forget all about. Just a thought. And I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but like Troy gets there so quick because he's got these little tabs on his pages that tell you what the page. Oh, Emily's got them too. So it's quicker for them to get there. It's not cheater. It's called having your own Bible. All right. So 1 Kings 12, we're going to start in verse 1. Okay. All right. Somebody get the page number in the seat Bibles just so they know. 209. All right. So if you're not there, 209. Here we go. Starting in verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. Your father was a hard master, they said. Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us, and we will be your loyal subjects. Okay, so brand new king. The people around come, they're like, hey, we're working too hard, we're paying too much. Make it easier. All right? So, verse 5, Rehoboam replied, give me 3 days to think this over. Then come back for my answer. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. What's your advice? He asked. How should I answer these people? The older counselors replied, if you're willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects. So basically, they're like, hey, this is what they've asked. Give them a little bit, be a little nice, and they'll follow you forever. This is what the wise people tell him. So, verse 8, but Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men. We talked in week 1. This is going bad. We already know. Instead, he asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. What is your advice? He asked them. How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father? The young men replied, this is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. That I want to see. So, verse 12, 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he had rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his younger advisors. He told the people, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, I will beat you with scorpions. So the king paid no attention to the people. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet A from Shiloh. That's A. For anybody that wants to know how to pronounce that in the Hebrew, it's A. Okay? So, Rehoboam took the young people's advice. Let me tell you what happens next, okay, without reading through the rest of this. A massive civil war breaks out. Like, the entire nation splits up. Rehoboam ends up getting put into a deep, dark path that he never wanted to go and ends up getting killed. Had he listened to the older people, the people in the city would have listened, would have loved him, followed him, served him. Everything would have been good. Instead, he listened to the unwise people, and what happened to him? What does Proverbs 13:20 say? Listen to the unwise, and what happened? Okay, listen to the fools and what? You'll get in trouble. Okay, so just like Rehoboam, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Number two, sign you found your perfect cellmate. Your parents don't like them. Your parents don't like them. Okay, so this might sound like not a big deal, But how someone treats your parents tells you a lot about their character. Okay? So, girls, when you bring that guy home and your dad's like, yeah, not a fan. When your dad gives him like goofy nicknames and stuff, that's a sign. It's time for him to go bye-bye. Okay? Now, I get it. Some people, you're like, yeah, but my parents suck. Okay? Maybe that's true. Not all parents are perfect. But your parents love you and actually want what's best for you. Sometimes it may not seem like it, but they really and truly do. And on top of that, your parents are smarter than you. Yes, this is realistic. They have something you don't, which is what? Wisdom. Hey, it's like people have been paying attention. Wisdom comes from what? Experience. So, you at 14 do not have the wisdom or the experience that your parents have at 34. I know, you all think I'm totally crazy, and somewhere about 25, you're going to go, oh my God, he was right. Okay, mark my words. You know how I know? So I did. About 16, I was like, Dad, you're an idiot. About 25, I was like, I am so sorry. Okay? So, oh, yeah. So, I'm going to give you guys the best news of the night. Ready? Nowhere in the Bible are we told to love our parents. Oh, yeah. I love Alex's face. He's like, what? Yeah. It doesn't exist. Go to Ephesians 6. Why would I get fired? Like, it's not in the book. My job, teach the book. It's not in the book. You are not commanded to love your parents. Okay? Ephesians 6. One person's there. Oh, two. Tristan's slow now. So all of you are like prepping this in your head. You're like ready to go home, be like, Mom, Dad, I don't have to love you anymore. Go right ahead, okay? You can tell them I said that. As long as you follow this next thing, okay? Read Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Somebody. All right, so obey your parents. You're commanded to do that. And honor your parents. What does it mean to honor somebody? Respect. What does respect mean? We don't know. All right, somebody grab your phone real quick and Google the word respect. And I say, I can't get them to put their phones up until the message time. Then it's like, get your phone out. And they're like, we don't want to know what respect means. I get it. All right, a feeling of admiration. That's all right. We have to see our parents as valuable and that the advice that they give is valuable. So we have to obey them and give them honor. That's not love, okay? I do not obey Emily. I love her. I don't obey her, okay, most of the time. Okay, that's probably why she gives me dirty looks. But we have to honor. Stop giving me dirty looks. You. We have to honor our parents, okay? So go home, tell them, hey, I don't have to love you. Totally good, but make sure you follow it up with, but I will honor you. And I want you to try that for a week, okay? If you can make sure that you honor them and don't love them, come back, I'll give you a prize, okay? So, God's word is extremely blunt about people that refuse to honor their parents, okay? Paul actually lists it in Romans 1. Go there. We're going to read something. This is going to really be interesting. I'm going to have like this lynch mob coming after me of parents. You told my kid not to love me. Yeah, you're right. Did they tell you the other half?
No.
Romans 1. Somebody read 28 to 32. Go ahead, Ivy. 28 to 32. So, here's a list of people that Paul is saying, we know they're not saved, we know they follow Satan, and they deserve what? Okay? And oh, by the way, they encourage others to do so. Like, have you ever had that friend that comes over to your house and, like, your mom comes in, they're like, hey, clean your room, and your friend's like, you really don't have to do that. She's not really going to get that mad. Anybody ever had that experience? Yet not the wisest person in the entire world. Okay, so here's a friend that won't even respect your parents, teaching you not to respect your parents, and you're going, this is my best friend. Welcome to your cellmate. Okay? So, how your friends treat and honor your parents or even their own parents, again, gives you signs about their character. If they're going to treat their parents poorly, if they're going to make you challenge your family relationships, this isn't somebody you want to be with. This isn't someone you want to be around, associate with. Okay? What's going to end up happening is that you're going to end up getting a job one day, and your boss is going to tell you to do something. And see, you don't really have to respect your boss either. The problem is if you don't respect your boss, what happens? You lose your job. So, beginning a life that is patterned of disrespect winds up with lots of really bad things. Okay? Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. The third one, you have to be somebody different around them. I probably don't have to explain this one very much. Okay? If you have to act different around this group, this isn't somebody you actually want to hang around with. Okay? If you understand that this group, you hope and pray that your parents never meet this group of friends because you know they won't like them, this isn't somebody you want to hang out with. Okay? Go to Romans 12, 2. Y'all are flipping there. Derek and I are rattling it off in our minds. It's probably in KJV too, but it's okay. We'll be forgiven later. He knows I'm right. That's why he's hiding his face. All right, somebody read it. What does it mean to be conformed? Changed? Okay, so it says, do not be conformed. So don't be changed, don't be molded. The word in the Greek here actually means to put on a false show. So Paul's saying, don't be put in a situation where you've got to act like something that you're not. Okay? You can't stand here on Wednesday and say that you're a Christian and show up with a group of friends on Thursday and act like you're not. This isn't wise. Okay? You can't act one way around your parents, act one way at church, and act another way around your friends. At some point, these three masks that you wear are all going to collide. And when they collide, it's going to get ugly. I promise. I walked it. Okay? If you find yourself in a friendship where you have to act like a completely different person, can you actually call that friend a real friend? If you can't be real around them. The answer is no. Everybody shake your head. No. Okay, only half of you. It's okay. So, if you have to act a certain way to gain somebody's friendship, it's not real. Right? Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. Number four, they gossip about your other friends. I love this one. Okay? So, when you're hanging out with somebody and they're talking to you about this other person, it's okay, right? They're not gossiping about you. All good, right? If they're going to do it to you, they're going to do it about you. So when Emily and Emily are together and they're talking about Troy, that's not good. Because Emily may think that's okay right up until Emily and Troy get together. And then Troy and Emily are talking about Emily. If you think it won't happen, you're kidding yourself. Okay? If your friends like tearing your other friends down in secret, there's a really good chance that they're tearing you down when you're not around too. And these are actually friends that aren't going to stick up for you. Okay? Why are they not sitting there saying, hey, that doesn't need to happen. We don't need to talk about them like that. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Verse 18. Ready, go. Somebody? Anybody? Louder and slower. Is that the whole verse? I guess I wrote that down wrong. Okie dokie. Yeah, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and says, I was only joking. Okay? The amazing celebrity Jay-Z put it like this. Yeah, everybody's eyes poke up. Wait, we don't care about this Jesus guy. Jay-Z, what? Don't tell me what was said about me. Tell me why they were so comfortable saying those things about me to you. That's Jay-Z, okay? Not Jesus, Jay-Z. He's like, I don't want to hear about the rumors. I want to know whether you were okay listening to it. If your friend always knows what others are saying about you, it might mean that instead of stopping what people are saying about you, they're encouraging it. This type of friendship shouldn't even be called a friendship. It's toxic and will only go up in smoke. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Number five, guarantee you found the perfect cellmate. They're never there for you. Okay? Go to Proverbs 18. Okay? This seems like a no-brainer, but it's something we tend to forget. Proverbs 18. Verse 24. Said, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Okay? You know you're real friends when things get tough. When life gets hard, that's when you find out who your true friends are. Okay? Some of y'all have heard me tell the story. If you haven't, then here it is again. I got out of high school, went and got a job, went and got an apartment. I was partying every single night. There were minimum 40 people at my house every single night. After about a year and a half, 2 years, I changed jobs. My income dropped drastically, and therefore my alcohol supply dropped drastically. You know what else dropped drastically at the same time? My friend supply. I figured out very quickly that my friends, or the ones I thought were my friends, were not there for me and what I needed. They were there because I supplied them with alcohol. I found out very quickly when times got tough in my life who my friends were. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12. So, in here, while you're flipping there, it says, a friend is someone that sticks closer than a brother. So, we got a couple of siblings in here. Those of you that have siblings right now, you probably don't like them. That's okay. I have a brother, and I'm not his biggest fan right now either. Okay? What I do know is that I have some friends that if all hell broke loose in my life, I would call that friend before I called my brother. Okay? That's what this is talking about. If everything in my life goes to crap, Emily decides, hey, you know what? You're a butthole. I don't want to be with you more. I'm leaving. I'm taking Karis with you. I'm taking the house, the cars, the whole nine yards. Okay? I am not calling my brother. I'm probably going to call Troy. No, but I have... Okay. That's why I'm calling him. No. But that's the thing. Like, I like my brother. Luckily, God doesn't tell me I have to love him. But I'm not calling him. I have friends that are closer than that. Okay? Somebody read 1 Corinthians 12, 26. So here's what we need to look for. We need to look for people that are actually going to suffer with us and rejoice with us. Okay? If Emily leaves me, ruins my entire life, I need guys that are going to come get around me, cry with me for a little bit, then finally kick me in the rear and say, okay, it's time for you to move on and, you know, go on about the rest of your life. And then we'll all go form a party and beat her up. If Emily decides by some crazy chance and, you know, ignores me and she decides, hey, we're going to have another baby, and so we have another baby, I need guys that are going to rejoice with me about that. Okay? I need people around me that are going to be there through the good times and the bad, not just when times are good. So, look for people that you know you can count on. Look for people that when you're having that bad day, they're the ones that come get next to you and are like, hey, is everything okay? Like, what's actually going on? Not the ones that kind of ignore you like, oh my goodness, you're being drama queen. Okay? That's a husband's job. Not your friends. Right, Emily? Okay. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. All right? The thing is, this whole deal, it's not about what you lose. It's about what you gain. If you go through this process and actually decide, you know what, I don't need to be friends with that one. I don't need to be friends with that one. I don't need to hang out with that one. Yes, you're going to lose friends. What you're going to gain are actual true friendships that are going to be lifelong. Okay? I've got a friend right now. I've known him for a decade. He is at work at this very moment. If I called him and told him it was an emergency, he would leave work.
You need friends like that, not friends who might,
oh, I've got to work, so is everything okay?
Like, I know without a shadow of a doubt he would leave work and be right there at any point in time.
Okay? So maybe some of you have seen some of these five signs in your friendships. You're kind of thinking, do I really need to lose these people? Is it really that big of a deal? When it comes to ensuring that you have the best possibility to have the best future available, the answer is yes. If you want to make sure that person's a cellmate, hey, stick around with them. That's where you're headed. If you want to make sure that you get to where you want to be, okay, you want to go to college, you want to be a teacher, doctor, lawyer, whatever, surround yourself with people like that. You're not going to learn how to do things, how to be like somebody by hanging out with the total opposite. Okay? You're not going to learn to be like Jesus hanging out with the devil. Okay? Hebrews 12:1 tells us we can cast aside every weight as we run our race with endurance. Okay? Your future is too important to allow deadbeat friends to hold you back. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You determine your future. Base your friends on that. All right? You guys can head off into small groups.